Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune in to Brad and Brit.
Yep. It is the Brad and Brit cast. And they said it couldn't be done, but it's being done. 2 days in a row. When was the last time we did 2 days in a row? It's been more than a month.
6 weeks.
Happy to do it.
Yeah, it's been been a while.
Yep. Yep. Feeling good. Feeling good. Looking. Not so good. Hey, I want a little shout out to my old radio partner, Chris Dem. Chris Dem put up just out of left field today, just a very nice little post on Facebook about me.
Mm-hmm.
About me. Just nice thing. Thank you, Chris.
It was an old picture of the guy, you guys from the Rock 92 days, where he's looking a little like Spicoli and you're looking like the same era Larry David from that era. So yeah, it was very, very interesting little promo picture from about 30 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Appreciate it much. Let's go through the list here. Ready? Ready? Bernie.
All right.
Hey, Don, is it Las Vegas or Las Vegas? Von Shits and Pants Forever. Jesse Helms would never believe what just happened at UNC.
Oh, boy.
Joe speaks on the protests and goes crazily responsible and reasonable. J.D. Vance may be the most dangerous person besides Trump.
Jeez.
And the rent's too high guy was way ahead of his time.
Yeah, he was. Jesse Helms UNC thing. Let's start local, but not stay local.
But can we just start with answering the question for Don, whether it's Las Vegas or Las Vegas? Because I saw this yesterday. You know, he was not unfairly chained to a freezing or boiling hot courtroom in New York by the out of control weaponized Joe Biden Justice Department, and was free to campaign and get his fresh message out at a couple of rallies. I believe one was in Michigan, the other was in Wisconsin. And I think all of us are guilty sometimes of seeing a word for the first time. We don't pronounce it right. In fact, I can recall at WBT, and this must have been in year 2000, something like that. And they sent me out to downtown, formerly known as Uptown, but I guess it's still Uptown, but it's downtown, but Charlotte's cute. To do a remote broadcast. And I was doing it from a place that I had never seen the name of before. And I was calling it Verizon. That's right. Verizon. I didn't know it was Verizon. Okay. It was a new word. And remember, Verizon is a made up marketing thing, right? There is no such thing as Verizon. It's just
what
they named it. So with that in mind, here is Donald Trump, and he several times seems to be not familiar with, not a made-up word, a very familiar word. Vegan. That's not a weirdo off-the-cuff kind of word, is it?
No, it's not.
Check it out.
Bones, a vegan restaurant, supposed to be really good. I'm not into the vegan stuff, I must say, but I'm going to have to try this. When we come here in a short period of time into Milwaukee, we're going to come and try that bacon food. I don't know if I'm going to like it. But you had a big business.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm sorry.
It's a good friend of his. It's a good friend of his, Brad. Come on.
Vegan. Now, you know what would happen if he ever were called to account on, sir, do you know it's pronounced vegan, not vegan? He would say, I was joking. I was mispronouncing it on purpose. And don't you have any sense of humor?
I've heard it pronounced both ways. People pronounce it both ways.
Right. Just run through the entire list of excuses or outs. I thought that was kind of entertaining.
The what at the rally was that? I'm assuming that was the one in Waukesha that you were playing.
Yeah. Right.
That's where he basically admits that he was trying to go to the Capitol on January the 6th. During the course of that speech, he basically said he was trying to get them to take him to the Capitol.
Britt, it's the Capitol. It's not just the Capitol.
And it did follow you. It did follow your. It followed your precepts of, sir, do you want to go? Sir, I don't think it's a good idea. Sir, you really shouldn't go there. It was that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now, what did you want? Did you want the Von Shits and Pants?
Let's hang on to that one and do the Jesse Helms UNC situation.
Oh, okay. All right. Here we go. Yeah. Let me make this a little bit bigger so that I can read it a little more easily. There we go. Ooh, nice. A fundraiser for Fraternity Brothers at the University of North Carolina at, how do you say that? Is that Chapel or is that Chapel Hill?
Chapel Hill.
Yeah. Who were helping to defend the flag during a pro-Palestinian protest on campus Tuesday. They've already brought in $400,000. Students were members of, and still are, of three different fraternities. They stood in front of a flagpole as protesters tried to take the U.S. flag down, according to the GoFundMe, which described the Fraternity Brothers as a platoon of American heroes. Now, of course, I think they wrote that, but okay. Demonstrators had taken the flag down, replaced it with the Palestinian flag earlier in the day. Afterwards, the American flag was raised again by authorities. This is kind of like Iwo Jima, right? Getting that, you know, nothing is going to stop them.
Yeah.
The cops stood in a circle around the flagpole, and the interim chancellor of Chapel Hill, Lee Roberts, was watching, clapping. Flag was pulled down in another attempt. The fraternity brothers protected it. GoFundMe, which says the money will be used to throw the students the party they deserve, has drawn thousands of donations, including a $10,000 contribution from Bill Ackman. You know, he's the Harvard guy, multi-billionaire hedge fund guy who was going berserk a couple months ago. Ackman's Jewish and spoke with the Washington Post about. Yes.
Do you know how many roofies $10,000? Do you know how many roofies $10,000 can buy? Oh, sorry, that was incorrect. I shouldn't have said that.
Was that a rhetorical question, or do you know the answer?
I don't know the answer, but I bet those guys do. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Continue on, because this absolutely is the story. This is the story of what happened at Chapel Hill. This should be perpetuated and talked about for sure.
Well, and by the way, since we're in North Carolina, we talk about this story of Chapel Hill, which did not end the same way as what happened at UCLA last night, where the LAPD got involved. And, you know, any story out of Southern California where the LAPD get involved, you know, it's always gonna end nicely. You can't lose
every single time. LAPD.
right. So that ended peacefully, and I want to go to that party. That's $400,000 will buy you one nice party. Good for them.
Well, and a legal defense fund for said party as well. So thank you, Mr. Ackman.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this the other day. I was telling somebody we were very, very lame back in the 80s because I had friends that went to Chapel Hill. My best friend went to Chapel Hill, and I went up there a couple of times. And what passed for protest back then as far as political activism was the recruitment by the CIA. CIA recruitment of agents. That was a big deal. That was back during the height of Reagan's involvement in Central America. You know, we're fighting in Central America to keep the commies from coming right up to our border through Mexico. Boy, those were the good old days. Now it's just
fentanyl. Well, I'm kind of surprised that they were letting the CIA recruit on campus then, because that was right after the church hearings, where all kinds of nefarious activities by the United States and our intelligence agencies were were uncovered. And a shout out to my alma mater, Ohio State. Apparently,
yes.
Yesterday, they had a big gathering, 700 people protesting, and ready? They left peacefully. They left peacefully. Apparently, someone was waving some football tickets about a quarter mile away, and they stampeded over to try to get some tickets there. So.
Meanwhile, at my alma mater, the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, they promised to look into whether they're going to continue to serve kosher meals. We don't know if that's going to be something we can do going forward, but we're going to look into it.
All right. With that in mind, let's follow up to what we were talking about on the previous podcast, which is when is Joe Biden going to get involved? He cannot just sit there and say. So he did step up on Thursday, making unscheduled remarks from the White House on Thursday morning, denouncing the violent protests and telling Americans there is, quote, no place for anti-Semitism anywhere across the nation. He also denounced hate speech and racism, declaring his support for the right to peacefully protest. Here's the quote. There should be no place on any campus, no place in America for anti-Semitism or threats of violence against Jewish students. There is no place for hate speech or violence of any kind, whether it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans. It's simply wrong. There's no place for racism in America. It's all wrong. It's un-American. And the money line here is violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is. Which, of course, brings you to the next question, which is, all right, if it's violent protest, what do you do? If you're an authority, if you're a college president, if you're a mayor of a city, and in particular, if you're the mayor of a city, and I'll just pick one, Columbus, a big city, and a public university, Ohio State, a giant university where things get out of hand. So in my opinion, Joe Biden said all the right things, but in the world in which we live in, that doesn't count. And here's why. Because we have a shoot first, ask questions later, maybe, you know, bang heads and get what needs to be done. And not only do you get the Republican nomination, you may be reelected as president after you tried to foment a revolution against the United States of America. So I actually admire Joe Biden for being restrained and not being a demagogue and not falling for the insane idea that we need to start sending the National Guard in. And I know most people, Britt, how many people do you think really know that the National Guard is not a national police force? It's a state by state thing. And so a governor of a state calls the National Guard in Ohio or Massachusetts or New York, wherever it is. How many people think know that?
Not many. Not enough.
Yeah. I know.
Although I'll say this, let me just say this. A better statement from Joe Biden would have been, I see bad people on both sides. That really is the standard when it comes to this. I think we have the blueprint for it, and I don't know why he refuses to follow that blueprint.
Well, shouldn't it be he sees good people on both sides? That would be the total milk toast.
if you truly go back to that Charlottesville thing, which, by the way, that was a violent protest. Don't know if you know that or not. If you truly go back to that, I think Donald Trump had 3 bites at the apple, and he fucked them up like every single time. He had 3 public statements where it was pretty close to the beginning of the administration. And that was when some of the people who thought, yeah, he'll be able to handle it, were kind of like, oh no, this is not going to be good.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a good thing at all. All right. Give me Von Schitts and Pants. I want Von Schitts and Pants.
Jake Tapper of CNN wanted to make sure he accurately reported on the official record of the first ever criminal trial of a former president. So when an update came through, he had to present it as a matter of factual record, even when it refers to former President Trump as Von Schitts and Pants. That's right. Elliot Williams, who was a federal prosecutor, CNN contributor, explained that the gag order that was issued Thursday, the second one, specifically whether the gag order violates Trump's right to defend himself against insults from Michael Cohen. So the updates on what was going on in the courtroom are rolling down the left side of the screen while they're talking. And so Jake Tapper's ready to provide a verbal update and read what's on the scroll going down, because you can't, you know, it's TV and, you know, people are listening, sometimes not watching. You got to do it. You got to read it. He apologized for what he was about to read. And you could hear Elliot Williams, the former prosecutor, go, oh boy, oh boy. So Jake Tapper is reading the post, and he's talking about the fact that Michael Cohen made on April 22nd on Twitter, which he refers to Donald Trump as Von Schitzenmans. Quote, that is just a factual record that I'm bringing you, says Jake Tapper. This is in the court transcript. Von Schitzenpants. Todd Blanche, the lawyer for Trump, said there are repeated attacks on Trump and his candidacy on Cohen's podcast and TikTok account. Dana Bash, I want you to weigh in on Von Schitzenpants. Oh, way to drag everybody else into it, Jake.
No, the CNN panel is like, does this help him with independent voters? Go ahead and tell us, Dana. What do you think?
Right. Dana Bash says, I think you did that on behalf of all of us. And Jake Tapper then says, well, just for the record, I've been calling it Von Poops and Pants for weeks now, but now it's part of the official transcript. So
it's true.
We can call it Von Shits and Pants. And isn't it just rich when, and the last couple of days have been, how can we discredit Michael Cohen Wednesday and Thursday, right? And tell you that he's a bad guy. And remember, Michael Cohen was acting as Donald Trump's stand-in. Because I can remember, Britt, at a, you know, we're not good record keepers, so I couldn't quickly find it. But I can remember back in 2015 into 2016 into the campaign, mm-hmm. when on this very, very Brad and Britt cast, I came on several times and I would go, Michael Cohen, worst Jew in the world. You remember that?
Yeah, right.
I do remember that. Absolutely. And that was because of those appearances that he was making on television where he was just balls to the wall in defending everything that Trump was doing. Now, did he believe that Donald Trump was the God and savior that he was purporting on television at the time? Not likely, but he was being paid as a shill. And they're trying now to position him as this just inveterate liar, because back then he was saying that, and now he's got an axe to grind against Trump. And you can't believe a word he said, and everybody hated Michael. Yeah, of course everybody hated Michael Cohen, because Michael Cohen was Donald Trump. He just looked a little bit different, had darker hair, but was doing all the dirty work for Donald Trump. And this is just noise that we're hearing the last couple days. They're trying to divert the jury's attention from the fact that this is a court hearing and a court case about a crime of trying to cover up through any means necessary. And they're trying to use the word extortion, that Michael Cohen, in effect, was trying to extort Pecker, the lawyer for Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal, to accept this money. God damn it, take the money and, you know, we can do stuff to you kind of thing. He didn't ever say those things. But we then get back to the whole mafia thing where, how do you connect this to Trump? What's he have to do with this? Wasn't this just Michael Cohen acting on his own for his own grins and laughs? No.
Right. Yeah.
No. Of
Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen went rogue, I believe, would be.
Right. Right. So, yeah. Okay, Trump, here's your chance. Take the stand and tell us how Michael Cohen went rogue on you, and you were mortified when you found out about these payments and all you wanted to do was make it right. Is that stupid or not? Plausible or not? Of course not.
Michael Cohen calling his own plays, going into business for himself, if you will, in wrestling terminology. It just happened to benefit Donald Trump to a T for some reason. Right. I don't know. It just happened to do it. It really didn't. And it didn't benefit Michael Cohen that much. So strange. Right.
Well, only if you think that going to prison for 3 years for not directly associated acts reflected well on him. And it was certainly worth it. Oh, by the way, I saw a sidelight. Apparently, there is a series of texts and emails that are associated with Alan Weisselberg, the financial guy who goes back to Fred Trump, you know, 50 years with the family.
Yeah.
And who is willing to go to prison and die in prison, that apparently have not been seen yet, that are highly incriminating and may bring up several new threads of violations of law by Trump. And I don't know how you squeeze Weisselberg any more than throwing him in Rikers Island. That's a pretty good squeeze, and he's not squealing.
No.
I don't know how that works.
I would point out that in the 8 or 9 years since you appointed Michael Cohen as the worst Jew in the world, he's been lapped by a variety of folks since then, correct?
I know. Well, because now Michael Cohen is Michael Cohen. He went to that fifth-rate law school, the one at Western Michigan, the Cooley School of Law. We found that out. He is not your blue chip top notch lawyer, but he's a lawyer, and this is the gig that he decided to sign on for, and he did it to the best of his ability, and apparently he did it so well that it helped Donald Trump get elected in 2016. And for them to now make him the fall guy on this. And the bottom line is everybody's lying and Donald Trump is telling the truth. Jury, what do you think?
Well, they still continue it. At least most of the people that were around him at that time and still are around him there. I mean, you're seeing some cracks in the dam. Michael Cohen notwithstanding, there are some people who are kind of still holding steady. Mark Meadows still holding steady in a separate issue, and they're not blabbing and they're not trying to save their own lives at this point. But you do feel like the weight of this thing is kind of getting ready to crush some people, and they're tired of talking, and I'm not going to take the hit for you anymore, and fuck you, I'm not going to prison for you. You kind of get the feeling that that's happening now that they're seeing a real live trial play out before their eyes, and they're like, oh shit, this could happen to me. I'm not going to do this.
Plus, the prosecution walked in not just with a list of names, and we're going to call them up there and see what we can get. They've got the receipts. They've got the emails. They've got the communications between these people. And again, no, Michael Cohen is not your highfalutin white shoe lawyer type. And of course not. Who would do that on behalf of Donald Trump? Except the sleaziest of the sleaze. And these guys who were intermediaries for Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal and David Pecker, they're not the best of the best either. But that's who you get in a trial of the mafia when you bring up Sammy the Bull Gravano in the John Gotti. No, Sammy the Bull didn't get a PhD in literature from Harvard either. That's not how it works. You're dealing with sleazeballs. So it's almost comical to see them try to use this as some kind of, and you know, remember, you're hearing Trump speaking. These lawyers, and they're not the worst lawyers that Trump hired this time, which is why, you know, what is he up to, $80 million in lawyers' fees? You know, these are probably high-priced lawyers, but I'm sure if you could get them to step aside and tell you the truth, they must be mortified that they have to get up there and try this kind of spaghetti thrown at the wall with Trump's name on the spaghetti, because there is no defense, really, when you start to add it up. And I think what's going to happen when Michael Cohen takes the stand, and you know, he's the client of Lanny Davis. Lanny Davis of the Clinton years.
Right.
And Lanny Davis is one hell of a smart guy. So is his son, Seth, right? Seth Davis, mm-hmm. smart guy. And I will bet you a dollar to five donuts, wherever you want, that Michael Cohn will not crack. He will be calm. He will not take the bait. He won't be what he's being painted as right now ahead of time. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. And he doesn't have to be believed 100% on everything. You don't have to. Look at the checks with Trump's signature on them. Do you suddenly believe that now Donald Trump doesn't look at what he's signing? Is he that guy? Does he? No, he's not that guy at all. He's so cheap that he doesn't even pay the painter or the guy who lays the carpet.
Right.
The fact that he goes into a Chick-fil-A and buys 30 milkshakes, that doesn't quite knock that truth out of the park. It doesn't at all. So I look for Michael Cohn to be rather unflappable, which is a surprise. I'm going to go the other way on this. He's not going to lose his shit and try to go toe to toe with these lawyers and turn up the heat. What do you think?
When you talked about that story about how Trump has that track record of not paying contractors, it was a few months ago. We saw that story. I think it was out of Pennsylvania where this guy goes, yeah, it was a friend of mine. And I think it was either light fixtures or something. The guy's friend had a business and Donald Trump didn't pay him, caused tremendous financial hardship on the company. I think they went tits up and the guy ended up blowing his brains out. So, I mean, this stuff also has real world kind of, there's a lot of people that have been hurt a lot by this guy not paying his bills. It's kind of cute. You know, oh, it's so funny. He never pays a contractor. Well, if you're running a small business and, you can't make payroll and all of a sudden you've got to borrow to do this and you're already borrowing to do that. Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of shit that he does. I also think the job that I would like when this is all over and the conversation I would like to have for the next crew or whoever's doing the next trial, let's just say he beats the rap on this one. Not guilty. We go on to the next one. And they go, all right, sir, here are some notes about how to behave in court next time. I would like to be the guy on that staff that goes, here are some things to avoid doing so that you can appear a little bit better in court.
I don't think there's any chance he's going to get a not guilty plea. 12 jurors all agreeing that there was nothing to this. There could be one holdout didn't see anything wrong. I didn't see anything wrong, and you get a hung jury, and then Trump declares this is.
I think we're all on the same page. He's not going to prison. I think who was it who said it? It was one of the really great attorneys on TV all the time. Goes, you'd almost have to be black to do that in order for you not have a prior record or anything like that. He's if anybody's getting their hopes up on this particular trial that he's going to prison, he's probably not going to go to prison on these charges. But that's okay because there's other stuff out there, as we know, that could send him to prison, and rightfully so.
If you confine him to his house for 8 months, that gets you past the election. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm all right with that too.
I'm okay with that. He'll of course be able to campaign on TV and things of that sort, but the degradation of it is so delightful that I could live with that. Plus the guilty plea and the fact, I love this, that he can still run for president as a convicted felon, but he couldn't vote in the state of Florida as a convicted felon. Remember what they did in Florida. They actually had a referendum, a statewide referendum, and the people voted to allow convicted felons to vote, but I think it's after they've served their time and things of that sort, which is okay. Correct. All right. But if Trump is in the middle of the sentence, then he won't be able to vote in the state of Florida, which of course he will declare the biggest injustice, since the trial.
Well, you have to. You brought up a couple of things. First of all, I do want to give Eli Mestal, I believe is how you pronounce his name, the great jurist, 45 years old from Harvard Law School, who you see on television a lot. He's the one that came up with
gray hair, best hair in the business,
And he's the one that came up with the idea that no, you can't really go to jail. You go to prison for what Trump's going to prison for, unless you're black. I did want to give him credit for that, and I think it was the Pod Save America guys when you talk about Florida. I went through. They had a questionnaire on the Washington Post like a week ago. And it was like, you pick Donald Trump's running mate. So you go through and it's like, is this important to you? Do they have to have one statewide election? Do they have to think that January, that, you know, the 2020 election was stolen? Do they have to all this stuff? I came up with Byron Donalds, the representative from Florida, who, of course, would have to move out of the state. You can't have two the guys on the ticket, both guys on the ticket from the same state. That's why that's why things have had to happen. Like Cheney had to move out of Texas and make his residence in Wyoming when Bush was running, all that stuff.
They I think said it's the same thing with Marco Rubio, also same problem.
Well, that's what they said was the funny thing is they would be like, the Trump people should tell Marco Rubio, oh yeah, we're going to pick you. Go ahead and move and establish residence somewhere else and then not pick him. Have him move his entire family and then pick somebody else, which to me would be like, that would be one of the most Trumpian things ever.
I'm glad you brought up the whole vice presidential thing, the running mate thing, because if Donald Trump picked J.D. Vance, the senator from Ohio, who was a total anti-Trumper in 2015, 2016, he wrote best-selling book, Hillbilly Elegy. He was born in Kentucky, grew up in Ohio, fairly poor, pulled himself up, smart guy, went to, I believe, Yale Law School, then decided his career path was best served by going completely in the tank for Donald Trump. So I put him in the category of super dangerous because he really, really, really knows better, but doesn't care. And last night, Wednesday night, he was on CNN, and you have never, ever heard a more cynical, tap-dancing son of a bitch than J.D. Vance. He had the grease on every answer, including a question from the moderator, Caitlin Collins, why would you want to be Donald Trump's vice president when the last guy was almost killed?
Right.
The gallows were up there.
Yeah.
And here's what J.D. Vance said. Get ready and just hold on to your seat there. Last time I checked, President Biden wasn't approving of the chance to hang his vice president and didn't call his vice president when their life was in danger on Capitol Hill, something that Mike Pence has testified to. This is Caitlin Collins speaking.
Right.
So my question is, does it give you any pause to be Trump's vice president given how he treated Mike Pence? So J.D. Vance gets agitated. This is just a horrible question. Caitlin, I'm extremely skeptical that Mike Pence's life was ever in danger.
Are you?
I think it's politics. And in politics, people like to really exaggerate things from time to time. So she cuts him off and says, I think Mike Pence would disagree with that part, Senator. J.D. Vance continues, a lot of folks in the Democratic Party, Caitlin, act as if January the 6th was the scariest moment of their lives. I think, look, January 6th was a bad day. It was a riot. But the idea that Donald Trump endangered anyone's lives when he told them to protest peacefully, don't you love that? They pull that one little clip out of him when he was making the speech right before things, as if that is a get out of jail free and I'm peace, love, dove Donald Trump. Look, Caitlin, this is the best one. Remember a few months ago, maybe it was a couple years ago, it was some people did some bad things, right? Wasn't there something like that? That was it was something out of effect.
It was Ilhan Omar, or it was one of the squad that said that. Yeah.
All right. Look, Caitlin, did a few people say some bad things? Sure. But do we blame Donald Trump for every bad thing that's ever been said by a participant in American democracy? I think that's an absurd standard. Did she blame everything bad that's ever been said on Donald Trump? Did I miss that part?
Yeah, she did the Wilmington massacre, the Tulsa massacre. She totally blamed that on him. She was blaming all of the lynchings in the South during Jim Crow. And I can't believe the media gets away with it. I'll be honest with you.
And finally, he questioned Caitlin Collins' motives in her question. Look, Caitlin, I know you're worried. And look, I think justifiably so. And then she said, this is not about me. I'm asking questions about how you feel about this. And he's denying that he said anything to Trump or that Trump has said anything to him about vice president. I think the biggest threat to American democracy, Caitlin, is that the Biden administration is trying to prevent Donald Trump from campaigning and taking his case to the American people. This guy went to fucking Yale Law School. Law School.
He's known in Republican circles as the redneck whisperer. And I would just ask you, because it seems like it to me more and more, is Ohio a bit of a lost cause when it comes to 2024?
Oh, I think so. You don't hear it. You remember, you're old enough to remember back then when it was considered kind of a swingy state. And that was underscored with no Republican running for president has won the presidency without winning Ohio since, I don't know, Grover Cleveland or Grover Cleveland like Alexander or something. Right. Like that. And now that you don't hear that anymore because it's a given that Ohio fell off the cliff and went fully red. I mean, North Carolina is now the state that's spoken of in those terms.
Yeah.
In being winnable by either side. And the best thing going for Joe Biden in North Carolina is Mark Robinson. That's his best.
Yeah. Let's talk about that again, because you would figure that given the protests at Chapel Hill and the other stuff, that Mark Robinson would somehow make some sort of appearance and decry these, you know, it's a layup for him. And you really haven't heard anything from this guy.
Because he's a non-entity, Britt. He's got nothing.
He's dead in the bed, Fred. I believe.
Well, there is a problem with a black guy calling for the cops to come in and bust heads.
Well, they've somehow been able to look past that up to date. You know, there's been some. I know that is some cognitive dissonance among Republican voters, but they've somehow been able to kind of deal with that. I really feel like by this summer, you're going to see Trump back away from Mark Robinson. Although I did see, and I think you probably saw the same poll numbers from the Hill that showed him one up on Josh Stein with, I think, a margin of error of 3.8, 3.5, something like that. The other polls have been showing that Josh Stein's decently in control of this race.
Yeah. That feels like an outlier because I cannot imagine that in the last 3 or 4 weeks, there's been this movement to Mark Robinson, who's not campaigned for 1 minute, who has...
It's bizarre.
An inoperative website. He may as well have a 404 up there, right? It may as well be a 404.
I don't even know if he's making the rounds on some of the conservative jerk talk show AM radio guys that we know. I don't even know if he's
wouldn't we hear about that. It? Wouldn't we hear about it? Wouldn't we know?
Seems like it. And if you have a modicum of campaign experience, you go out there and you have him just mouth off about shit like that, and he makes statements, and they carry it on TV because they're just trying to fill up time or something.
It's an easy one for Mark because didn't Josh Stein go to UNC undergrad?
Yes, he was raised in Chapel Hill. You do that if you're. I mean, I can run the fucking campaign. It's easy. Mark Robinson, Josh Stein has Chapel Hill values. Here are Chapel Hill values, and they show him ripping down the American flag. You do that, and you run that as a commercial, or you have it on your social media, or you do a cheapie and put it on YouTube. It's not that fucking. They're not even doing that.
Yeah. Maybe he has zero funds. He spent it all on food.
It's either food or metformin. One of those two things. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the Mark Stein political life dying a death and rotting in the ground as quickly as possible. I'm just very surprised that there are some people who would not at some point find it useful for him to be governor, and they're rushing in with some cash. We got to do something. We got to protect the brand. I don't know.
You made a little boo-boo there. You called him Mark Stein. You confused him with that great. Is that guy still around? Is he British?
He is. And I think he's on townhall.com or some bullshit like that from time to time.
Okay. So he's really not around. Okay. That's what I was asking.
Mr. Bentley of talk radio. He used to fill in for Rush a lot. You didn't do Bernie. What's Bernie?
Well, Bernie is all about what he said about the protests. All right. And I thought it was extremely responsible and very statesmanlike. Some people don't like it because, you know, remember Bernie Sanders, I would say, would be the senior lefty progressive in the United States Congress and or Senate. Okay, you can have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but you know, these are young people. Bernie Sanders has been not just talking the talk, but walking the walk for 50 plus years, starting as a mayor of, I guess it was Burlington, Vermont, and being in the House for a while. And he's been a senator for a long time, and being to the left of Joe Biden and trying to get the nomination, and it didn't happen. And what did he do? He got on the team, and Joe Biden got elected president. So at this moment, Bernie Sanders, who has been very outspoken against American foreign policy regarding Israel, if he wanted a cheap shot Joe Biden right now, he has every opportunity to do it. He does. But what does he do? He goes the other way and he says, look, if you think that protesting and taking over college buildings is going to help anybody in Gaza, anybody, any victims, you're wrong. It's not going to help. Yes, you can protest the policy, but if you get violent, you're going to help elect Donald Trump. And this is Bernie Sanders.
That's the whole
thing. And I say, right now, does anybody that is protesting right now, mostly younger folks, yeah, there's a few professors in there, but it's somebody who's 22, thinks they know everything about everything, because when you're 22, you do know everything about everything. And I haven't heard the phrase uttered yet, but while we're recycling residue of the 60s, never trust anyone over 30. Haven't heard that yet, Britt. But don't you think that's coming?
I would hope so.
Yeah. But so here's Bernie Sanders, who's 82. Why should I now, instead of all those young folks who would go to Bernie Sanders rallies when he was running for president, they're not going to listen to him now, right? Because he's just old Bernie. He's spouting the Democratic Party Joe Biden line. And we hate Joe Biden. We've got to teach him a lesson that we've got to withdraw our support overall of Israel. Just let them twist in the wind and help Israel disappear from the river to the sea. That's what we want. We're 22 and we know everything.
Well, it's
so I say, you know what? Bernie Sanders, to me, is a patriot. He's just a goddamn patriot. And I applaud him because he had... And Bernie Sanders can be argued to be an opportunist many times, but not this time. It's too serious. And the seriousness of it is that you may be electing Donald Trump.
That's if the deal.
College campuses burn this summer, or the streets burn with American public support of Hamas, and you mask that as support, well, for the Palestinians and the victims in Gaza, I mean, it's going to play right into Donald Trump and law and order and the rest of that stuff.
That's, I mean, you said it. Any opportunism he had at this point to try to expand his political brand or get himself on television like he needs that or whatever, is all outweighed by the idea that this could all be outweighed by the idea that it could elect Donald Trump. So you don't want that to happen. So, of course, he does what he does. Yeah. He's a very smart guy.
Glad you got that dragged out of me. I think we've covered everything. We've covered everything. And Britt, what's your take on the Philadelphia 76ers? Can they do it? Can they force a game 7?
I'm kind of into the idea of the New York sports angst at this point and the fact that they think there's impending doom. So I'm kind of riding that way right now.
Game 6 is in Philadelphia, and I see that the ownership bought up a couple thousand tickets so that it wouldn't be a New York crowd there.
The other part of New York sports angst is the New York Rangers, who are heavily favored to win the Stanley Cup, are taking on the Carolina Hurricanes in the next round of the NHL playoffs, which start on Tuesday. So if the Hurricanes can win one early, then all of a sudden the feeling of dread over the New York sports fans should really start coming in heavy.
And who do you like in the Kentucky Derby this weekend, Britt?
That Philly, I think she's going to be good. Is that
that's number 7. That's the number 7 horse.
Going off at 8-1 right now. Go ahead and just bet the house on that one.
Well, my money is on Von Schitzenpants.
Von Schitzenpants. Coming on the outside is Von Schitzenpants. Von Schitzenpants makes a move.